And Ephesians chapter number 2. Get wired up here. Make an attempt to preach a message on the gift of God. We'll read 8 verses here. We'll read verse 1 down through verse number 8 of Ephesians chapter 2. We'll comment on other verses in this chapter. A woman once said about the book of Ephesians, she said it's the Grand Canyon of the Bible. And that's quite a statement she made, but it's also quite a book. If you spend much time in the book of Ephesians, you'll understand why she said what she said. It's truly an amazing epistle that Paul wrote here. And he says to this church in Ephesus, verse number 1, "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And this is where it takes a turn, verse number 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And I want to stop right there. I will comment on other verses in this chapter. And I would like to ask you to pray with me this morning as we attempt to preach this morning on the gift of God. Father, we humbly bow our heart and head before You this morning. Confess, Lord, how unable and unfit we are to handle the Word of life. And Lord, therefore, we yield ourselves and ask God that You would, in our stead, preach to us and through us. Manifest, I pray, Thy Spirit, Lord, upon Thy words. And Lord, I pray You'd whet our appetite and open our eyes. The eyes of our understanding, unstop our ears. And Lord, I pray our heart would stand at attention, Lord, to the great truths that are in Thy Word today. Lord, I know today people are seeking after things of the world, and even the church is somewhat guilty of having a worldly appetite. But I pray, dear Father, this morning, Lord, You'll help us to be mindful of the things that are above. And I pray You bring heaven down to us this morning, that we may be able to reach up and just touch the hem of it. Lord, I pray for Your children to be blessed. I pray, dear Father, Lord, You would just pour out a blessing on them that the room would not be able to even contain, and they'd just get the cane helpers and rejoice in the things of God. Whatever You do, Lord, I give You praise and glory, and I'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard a man preach a message one time called A Glimpse of Glory. Phil Kidd. I've got the message at home. And they had to stop a few times and just have a shouting fit. I mean, they just had to have intermission. I mean, it just got out of the banks and they said, "Woo! Glory!" And Phil finally just stopped preaching. He said, "Woo! Glory!" And I like it like that. You listen to it sometime, I'll bring it up here and let you hear it. You'll know what I'm talking about. It's a camp meeting. They had a youth choir, and that preacher charged them. He said, I charge you by the God of eternity that you sing the best you can sing the songs of God tonight. And I mean, they were in tune. And I mean, boy, they lifted up their voices in harmony. And as they sung, people wept and rejoiced. But tonight, or this morning, I was going to preach this message tonight. But this morning, the gift of God, everything, every good gift comes down from above. I've got a lot of gifts in my life. You have too, but the greatest gift I ever got was at the age of 34 years old when I was lost and undone without God in this world. And I humbly as a beggar knelt down and asked God to have mercy on me, a sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. It'd be different if I'd done anything worthy of heaven. I mean, I wished I had made better choices in life. I wish my mind hadn't went certain places. I wish my mouth hadn't tasted the things of the world like it did. I wish the world had a different opinion of Eddie Wade. But after I got saved, sister, there was a man come up to me and he said, I refuse to believe God could save someone like you. I couldn't even argue with him. I was just as amazed as he was. No wonder they called it Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
John Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace, and just like him, so am I. I once was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Man, God reached way down, saved an old sinner like me. God's in the saving business. Jesus said at the age of 12 years old, told his loving mother, know you not, I must be about my Father's business. And his Father's business was finding that one nearest hell and getting them saved before they end up in hell, Brother Howard. Jesus said, my Father worketh, and hitherto I worketh, and would to God we had a mind to work in the vineyard while it's day. The Bible said the night comes and no man works, and we're all guilty of being a little lulled to sin. But I'll tell you right now, Jesus said in John chapter number 4, He said, look up your eyes and look. I tell you, the fields are white already under harvest, and the labors are few. Would to God we'd go like that. Go out and work, amen. But I'm glad the gift of God applied to me, Brother Hired. It's good to hear about others getting saved, but it's really good to hear that God saved me. Man, oh man, I wish I could do it again. It's the most wonderful experience. I don't even know how to put it into words. It's better felt than told. I mean, I don't know how in the world you can explain being saved to someone. I've tried. And they look at me and look like I'm from another country. But let me say, God's great gift came from His great love. You see that verse number 4? It said His great love. That's where this great gift came from. His great love provoked Him to not give up on humanity. But His great love kept reaching out. His great love kept pursuing. His great love was right there following me as I walk according to the course of this world. At every corner, He reached out to me, amen. And He reached out to you, amen. His great love. People say, God couldn't love no one like me. Take a look at Calvary. Don't tell me God doesn't love you. I remember hearing a story one time about a young girl, confused. And in her confusion, she done the unthinkable. She took a gun, put it to her head and pulled the trigger. Crowd gathered around the young girl. She lay there in a pool of blood. She didn't die instantly. And an old white-headed preacher seen the crowd run over to see what was going on. And here lay this poor little girl. Beautiful little girl. And he broke his heart, Brother Melvin. And he said, honey, why'd you do it? She said, preacher, nobody loved me. He said, honey, surely your mother loved you. She said, she didn't show it. He said, honey, surely your daddy loved you. She said, well, he didn't show it. He said, honey, surely your brothers and sisters loved you. She said, they didn't show it. He said, honey, I love you. She said, you didn't show it. Buddy, right there, just for a second, he was silent. Here she was, boy, and she was in the right. And the light came on, and he said, honey, Jesus loved you. And she had to shut her mouth. She couldn't say, Brother Hired, he didn't show it. Because I'll tell you what, this thing wasn't done in no corner. He came down here and allowed himself to be delivered in the hand of sinful men, and they evil entreated the Son of God. They crushed the rose of shine under foot and spit in his face and beat him.
Amen.
It was God's love in the greatest manifestation. Hollywood can't duplicate that kind of love. It's the kind of love that never gives up. It's the kind of love that will not let you go. It's the kind of love that's in the category of agape love. It's a godly love. Amen. His great love. This gift came from His great love. Brother Barnum mentioned earlier about Romans chapter 6 verse 23. Said the wages of sin is death, but I'm glad that verse don't stop there. Second part of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God gave eternal life through His Son. His Son gave His life so you could have eternal life. His Son prayed from the cross for your forgiveness. And God, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible said that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. That's why old Brother Eddie got forgave, Gayla. It wasn't that I deserved to be forgiven. It was that through the bruised, parched lips of Jesus, as He wore the crown of thorns, as His vestige marred more than any man, as they looked upon Him on Golgotha.
Amen.
And He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And if you read Isaiah chapter 53, and they call it a slaughterhouse religion, the Bible said He's led as a lamb to the slaughter. You'll also read in Isaiah chapter 53 that God saw the travail of His soul, and He was satisfied. He said, there remaineth no more need for sacrifice. My Son has satisfied the demands of sin. Amen. Glory! That's how Eddie Wade found forgiveness. God's love would not let up. Man, oh man, oh man. Who in the world would argue with love? I meet people all the time. God couldn't love me. Buddy, take a look at Calvary. No missing it, amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 says, our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. God's great love, amen. I'll tell you what, we can learn a lot about God's love. We reread it here in 1 John chapter number 4. And it tells us we need to learn how to love. Amen. Bless you, Carolyn. It said, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. And this was manifested. The love of God towards us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. That we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the perpetuation for our sins. Amen. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen. There wouldn't be no bullying in school if we had more love of God. Man. Somebody said a preacher went one time to a drunkard's house at the request of someone. And the drunkard seen him through the screen door as he went to knock on the door, and the drunkard said, come on in. And the preacher went in there, and the drunkard said, come on over and sit down. He sat down beside this man, Carolyn. And that drunkard in his filth said, here, have you a drink. And the preacher said, no, thank you, sir. And that drunkard hit that preacher in the mouth, knocked him plumb out of the chair, and he fell down on the floor and he got his handkerchief out, wiped the blood off of his lips, and he said, I didn't come to fight with you. I come to tell you I love you.
Yeah.
And that man cursed him, and he left that house. He didn't fail, Brother Bernard. He didn't fail. Boy, I'll tell you what somebody used to say. Nobody cares about how much they know. They want to know how much you care. That man, boy, one Sunday morning come busting through the back of the church and run down here at the altar and said, oh God, forgive me my sins and save my soul. His testimony was, ever since that preacher come to my house, he went to bed with me every night. I couldn't shake the love he showed me. I couldn't shake that love off. It would not let me go. If we could show more love. Now listen, sometimes love's not like what you think. My mama and my daddy loved me enough to bust my bottom when he needed it. The Bible said, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And my mama, they chastened their little hard-headed boy, Carolyn. And I remember when they dusted my pants, there were some things I thought twice before I done them again. I might have still done them, but they still done what they're supposed to do. But my mama and my dad's both gone now. And I can tell you, this month I'll be 60 years old. And the thing I love my mother and father most of all, more than anything they've done for me, was that they loved me enough to show me something was wrong. And they loved me enough to bust my bottom and let me know that they loved me, but they wasn't going to allow me to do those things and to follow that kind of life. And no telling where I'd have been if they hadn't been a godly, a godly example to me in that respect. Now, my mom was a Christian. I remember my mama praying with me. Now, she didn't go to church every Sunday, but she knew she should. And, you know, I remember us getting down and I remember us praying, little old bitty boy, and my mama, we kneel down, now lay me down to sleep. Lord, I pray my soul to keep. If I die for a week, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And we say, God bless mama, God bless daddy, God bless papa and mama May, and Uncle Keith and Aunt June and Uncle Ada and Aunt Betty all the way down the line. My mama prayed with me. And, we need to learn to love. Romans 13 verse 10 says that love works no ill, worketh no ill to his neighbor. They would be an instant end of all bullying in school if there was more love of God. Now one reason there is so much bullying in schools, they took the love of God out and they let the enemy of the love of God in. And let me tell you something, devil makes havoc of all situations, and now he's got full rule and reign in our public schools, and they become a habitation of devils. And don't blame God when the blood runs down the cafeteria hall, and don't blame God when somebody goes in and shoots all these children up and all that stuff. I'll tell you right now, buddy, the mistake's not God. The mistake was ours. We made a bad choice when we listened to a woman named Madam O'Hara, an atheist, that thought we ought to make exception for her atheist children that died with her. If you knew the story. But the love, the great love of God, the great gift of God causes you to remember whose you are, and it causes you to remember what you was before God saved you. Amen. If you look at verse number 11 through verse number 13, Paul says to this church in Ephesus, he said, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, or covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. It makes a difference. Amen. We're His workmanship. We're a work in progress. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Christ. I keep messing up, Brother Eddie. I keep failing. I keep falling. I keep forgetting. The Bible said, Hebrews 13 verse 5, and it's God doing the talking. And God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Verse 6 says, that we may boldly say, that the Lord is my helper. Amen. I remember one time, Brother Howard, I remember I went to the funeral of my cousin. You want to know how he died? I'll tell you. He wouldn't let you talk to him about Jesus. He come out my house, borrow my trailer. He didn't want to come out there and ask me, Vernon, because he knew I was going to tell him about Jesus. He come out there and said, Ed, I need to borrow your trailer. Can I borrow your trailer? I said, Steve, you can borrow my trailer. But I said, why are you here? And he started walking away from me. I said, I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you. Jesus, he had a little baby girl, little Ruth Ann Molly, his life was wrapped up in this little bundle of flesh. I mean, everything he lived for was in that little girl. But there was another thing that had a hold of him too. It said cigarettes got them points on both ends. If you know what I mean, that they legalized in Colorado, that there ain't nothing wrong with it. Well, I'll tell you one thing's wrong with it. He was a truck driver. He was driving in Indiana and the truck broke down. Now, you ain't allowed to smoke what I'm talking about and drive a truck because they have random checks on you and stuff. But he had it with him, hired. And the truck broke down and the wrecker got there and got all hooked to the truck and everything. And my cousin Steve said to this wrecker driver, "You mind if I go back there and get some of that and smoke it while we're on the way?" Now, understand what I'm saying here. He's already in a place of safety. They're in the right-hand emergency lane where when you break down, you pull over on the right-hand side. He's safe. And this wrecker driver says, "Yeah, it'd be all right." And my cousin gets out of the safety of that wrecker to go back there. And if he only knew what was coming, he'd stayed in that wrecker. It's a sad commentary, but it happens every day. It does. I'll comment on it here in a minute. He went back there before he got to that truck. A drunk driver come down through there. To the right of the emergency lane, hit my cousin, knocked him about 30 feet up in the air, and when he came down and hit his head on that truck, he died instantly. And they had a closed casket funeral. And his little daughter didn't get the raising she would have had her father lived. You see, that's kind of the other side of sin. Nobody wants you to know that side. They want you to see the glamours. The Marlboro man that all of a sudden died after smoking too many Marlboros. And the Jack Daniels man, they've run out of colostomy bags and all of that. And you sin against this body, you'll pay the price. Amen. God give you a good body. Mine's 60 years old. It still works. My hands still clothe. My eyes still see. My ears still hear. My feet still solid. Why don't we take better care of ourselves instead of listening to Satan? You can do it. You can have it. It won't cost you nothing. Let me tell you what it cost my cousin. We went to his funeral. And it was a sad funeral. I remember his wife, Tammy, coming to me, Brother Bobby. I remember she run to me. He said, "Tell me my husband's not in hell." And I said, "Tammy, what can I tell you any different than what you already know? I'd love to be able to tell you my cousin Steve's not in hell. He wouldn't stand still long enough for me to let me tell him about heaven. He wasn't interested in eternity. He was only interested in the now and the day." But anyway, apart from all of that, get back to what my main thought was at that funeral. One of the friends I grew up with, I asked him, I said, his name also was Steve, his name was Steve Wheeler. I said, "Steve, are you saved?" You know what he told me, Brother Vernon? He said, "Yeah, but I can't live it. I ain't like you, I can't live it." You see, people, they think that they're going to reach some measure of, I don't know, perfection. I don't know. I know I have to pray every day to be forgiven. I have to pray every day to be delivered from evil temptation. I have to pray every day to die to any way that Christ might live. But the answer he gave me was so strange. He said, "Yeah, I'm saved, but I ain't like you. I can't live it." Listen, Paul said, "The life that I now live," he said, "it's not me liveth, that Christ liveth in me." I want you to know when Christ takes his rightful place upon the throne of your heart, there'll be something different. There'll be a change. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 55, I think it's verse 11, it says they have no change, therefore they fear not God. I'd like to see a change. Amen. Yeah. Man, the people I worked with, it took him a while to figure out what happened to Eddie Wade. It took me a while to figure out what happened to Eddie Wade. But I'll tell you one thing, there was a change. Amen. I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. I didn't talk that talk no more, Molly. I didn't walk that walk no more. I started bringing my Bible to break room and reading it. And as everybody gawked and cleared their throat and said, well, I never. I just kept reading my Bible. And pretty soon there's another Bible plopped down there. Then there was about 10 of them in there. And they decided they'd choose another break room. Give us that one. Amen. Hallelujah. Man's gift to make a room for him. Well, anyway, I don't want to go too much further down that trail. But I'll tell you one thing. My friend, he said, yeah, but I can't live it. I'll tell you what, you get good and saved, it'll surprise you. You'll find out Christ will manifest Himself in you. You'll find out, buddy, that it'll make a difference, boy, when Jesus is where He's supposed to be. But listen, not only remember who you were and what you are now, but also remember what He done. Amen. Look at verse 14 through 22. It says, for He's our peace. You see, I didn't have no peace. I had guilt, condemnation. I had sin. Man, the devil, he didn't have a problem at all convicting me of sin. Man, I was like a hog. I wallowed in it. How could I argue? But I'll tell you one thing. The Lord gave me peace. He's our peace, who made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments ordained or containing ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. Thereby, He came and preached peace to you that were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Remember what He done. I'll tell you one thing He did. He brought peace to my home. And we had to bury a daughter in 1995, and it wasn't a pleasant thing. But I'll tell you one thing. I had peace in that. I had peace to know He knew what He was doing, and I trusted Him as being a faithful Creator. And it wasn't like I could do anything about it anyway. But I'll tell you one thing, you got the peace of God that passes all understanding. They can't too much rock your boat. That peace, boy, it brings stability. That peace causes you to have strength that even you don't even know you got. And when situations come up, you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and you're able to stand, having done all, you're able to stand there with, and many left, and they say, boy, I wish I had the peace they got. That peace comes from God. Amen. Amen, Carolyn. That peace, amen. They'll marvel that you don't fall apart. They'll marvel that you don't give up. They'll marvel that you keep going. He made that peace, amen. And you know what He said? He said not only did He make peace, but He said don't forget what He done. You know, we take the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. The Lord said, this do in remembrance of Me. We don't need to forget what He done. We need to live lives that bring honor unto Him and the sacrifice that He made. And let there be no mistake of our love to Him that loved us and gave Himself for us and died for us. It was the gift of God that He came down and gave Himself for you and me. Amen. I hope it's never quenched. I hope, praise God, that there'll always be a witness. They sent people to arrest Him, and they came back being arrested of themselves, and they said, never, man. Speak like that man, Carolyn. Amen. There was something different about him. They couldn't do nothing with him. There was more to him than met the eye. Man, he rebuked the winds and the waves, and there was a great calm, and they said, what manner of man is this that both the wind and the waves obey Him? He raised Lazarus from the dead, and all marveled and said, what manner of man is this? I'll tell you right now, boy, let there be forever a witness of Him. Let's not forget what He done. Let's not forget the great love that He bestowed upon us. Let's not forget the great gift that He gave us. The Bible said, and this is pretty much it in a nutshell, he that hath the Son has life. Amen. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Does Jesus rest in here? You see, at the age of 34 years old, I didn't realize there was an emptiness right here. I mean, I had a hunger. and I had a thirst, but I didn't know why I had that hunger, and I didn't know why I had that thirst, and I bought all the toys of the world, and I tried all of the things the world had to offer, but only till He took His place and I became whole did I realize only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus. I've been so satisfied, Carolyn. I've tried to tell people, I've tried to rub some of this off. I said, I wished I could take some of this out and give it to you. Oh, it's the greatest gift anyone could ever receive, the gift of God. The psalmist said in Psalms 34, verse number 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You can draw water from the wells of salvation if you just come to Jesus and say, "Lord, I just heard of Your great gift and I want it today. I want even today to know what it means to have the peace of God and the joy of salvation." The only reason you don't have it is because you haven't came and called upon Him that's rich in mercy at all that call upon Him. The only reason you don't have it today is because you haven't come and asked for it. He's longing for you to have it. And I'll tell you today, for you, could be the day of salvation. Me and Brother Melvin went last night. I'll wrap up with this. Me and Brother Melvin went last night to the hospital in Lexington, and it was a not only a long drive, but it was a big ordeal. The hospital was bigger than he and I anticipated. We got one little break there. Parking place opened up, and before we could even back up, a car shot in there and got it. We had to ride the shuttle over, and the shuttle took us to the new edition, and we were supposed to go to the old edition, and it was just chaos all the way. But we finally made it to the destination, and when we came into the room, here it was, a loving daughter with a burden for a lost mother had sent word. Brother Melvin told me he'd been praying for Linda, and Paulette had went further in her desire to see her mother saved, and she said, "I wish someone would put feet on their prayers," and that resonated with Brother Melvin. He called me. He said, "Is there any way you could come go with me? I believe we need to go up there." And I said, "I'll definitely come." At 3 o'clock, I went, cleaned up, got dressed up, and we undertook that journey. And we missed several turns, but finally got it. We got there, and like I said, finally got to the room, and the devil immediately started doing what he does. He fought tooth and nail. You know, if I can see it, it's got to be obvious. But Linda, just as soon as we come to the room, she started falling asleep. Mm-hmm. The devil giving her a spirit of slumber. But her daughter wouldn't give up. Amen. She kept waking her mother up. She said, "Mama, you got to stay awake, Mama. I want you to get saved, Mama. Mama, I don't want you to go to hell." And through Paulette's persistence, she would not give up. She kept touching her mama on the cheek. She said, "Mama, listen, Mama. Listen, Mama. I love you, Mama. Listen, Mama." And she'd give her water, and she said, "Wake up, Mama." Back about 30 minutes. I remember Paulette, she went down and she got her mother by the feet. She said, "Mama, it's me. I want you to get saved. I want to know where you're going to be in eternity." About that time, Linda, I don't know if the devil lost his grip or what, he may have had her by the feet, I don't know, but Linda woke up and she said, "I want to get saved." And Paulette, boy, she was just really just joyful to hear that. She said, "Mama, will you pray with me?" She said, "Yes, I will." And we all heard Linda say, "Lord, I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want you to come in my heart and save my soul." And man, hallelujah, she had no problem falling asleep after that. And I'll tell you right now, we may have complained on the way up there, but we didn't complain on the way back. Amen. Hallelujah. It was worth the journey. Yeah. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're wondering about all of this. Maybe you've not received the gift of God. Maybe you know nothing of what we've talked about this morning. I'll tell you one thing. God has got a gift for you. You can have it if you'll come this morning. You can have it. I wish I'd have got saved as a young man. You can't do nothing about that. I am glad I'm saved. That's the first thing I said at the age of 34 years old. I wish I'd done this sooner. But God's got a gift. He's the only one that can give it. But the good thing is, He wants to give it. Yeah. If you want it today, I'll tell you right now, God will give it to you today. Father, we thank You for the message today. We thank You for the clarity of this message. Lord, we thank You, Father, for the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we claim this morning, Lord, none other but You. And we pray You do what needs to be done. I pray You, by the Holy Spirit of God, would work in this invitation and usher that soul that's nearest hell this morning. Lord, we just don't know what one day is going to bring. We all thank, Lord, that we've got the promise of tomorrow. But tomorrow is only on the calendar of those that are saved. And those that are lost have no tomorrow. They only have today. And Your Word says today is the day of salvation. I pray they lay hold on eternal life today and get saved. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. What you got?
176.
176. Everybody stand, please.
More about Jesus' blood,
I know.
More of it rich to others show. More of it saving.
Get somebody by the hand. Say, go with me to the
altar.
I want that gift.
About Jesus.
More about Jesus. More of His saving fullness, see. More of His love died for me. Is God dealing with your heart this morning? Can you feel Him causing you this morning to think about getting saved? That's God. You see, the Bible said godly sorrow, work of repentance, not to be repented of. You feel God dealing with you this morning, won't you come on up here? God's wanting to give you that gift. Won't you come? Lord, bless Brother William this morning. We thank You for Brother William, Father. We thank You, Lord, to see the beauty, Lord, of soul, Lord, come to the altar to show how easy it is to come, Lord. Kneel and pray unto Him that's worthy. Bless Brother William. Bless His mom. Bless His baby. Bless Him in all things. Won't you come this morning? More about Jesus. More about Jesus. All His saving fullness, see. More of His love who died for me. Won't you come? Better word of the night. Be a good day. Get your name in the book of life. Be a good day. Get your sins on the blood. Be a good day to have the gift of God. No. One day, you'll be able to go to heaven. You know, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. I'll get to see my daughter again. I'll get to see my mom, my dad again. The Bible said them that sleep in Christ Jesus, God will bring with Him when He comes. Amen. They're not going to get up out of the grave. He's bringing them with Him when He comes. We'll be caught up in the clouds to be together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you're not in that number this morning, you're to come right now. Brother Eddie, I need someone to pray with me. I want that gift of God. Yes. Amen. Let me ask real quickly, every head be bowed just for a second. There's someone here this morning, Brother Eddie, I don't have that gift of God. And I want it. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Remember me in your prayers. If you'll raise your hand, I'll see that hand and God will see that hand. God's a gracious God. I'll tell you what, He'll give you space to repent. He said about Jezebel, He said He gave her space to repent. He'll give you space to repent if you raise that hand this morning. Brother Eddie, I need that gift of God. I'm not saved. Are you here this morning lost? If you are, raise your hand. God will see it. All right, thank you. Well, we got some food back there in the back. We'd like to invite everybody to stay. And we don't eat too much. We might have a second helping here after a while. Has anybody got a word on your heart this morning? If you do, we'll give you opportunity there to give it. And if not, we'll be dismissed to go back there in the back.
Brother Eddie, I thank the Lord for His amazing grace. I thank Him for the sisters that still stand up and
feel like
He
did. Amen,
Carolyn. I thank the Lord for the
peace I feel. Amen. Amen. Yeah, she's right. You can't go to Walmart and get that peace. She said, I thank the Lord for the peace I feel. God gives that peace. He's the only one that can. The Bible said there's no peace, said my God, to the wicked. And the wicked are like the troubled sea that foameth up its rage or something like that. Man, I thank God, like she said, for that peace. Good grief. Praise the Lord. Who could put a price on peace? They want peace, but they don't want God's peace. Anybody else got a word this morning?
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me and keeping me. You know, this is a race. We run the race.
Yeah.
In life. Now, you know, I'm in this race, and I'm going to endure to the end. You got to endure to the end. Some of y'all may die and go on and be to heaven. I may still here be running the race. Maybe vice versa, but I'm running.
Amen.
And I'm going to keep in there.
Bless his heart.
You know, I get sidetracked sometimes. I got to get started back. You look at me, I ain't no perfect person.
Bless his heart.
I make mistakes like anybody.
Bless.
But I like young people. And my grandson said something the other day. He said, oh, I like being out with you. I like doing things with you.
Bless you, William.
And he told his granny something other. You know, Christian people better watch themselves around young people.
That's right.
He said, I'm learning, Granny. But said, this woman goes to church and professes to be a Christian. But said, I don't see much of the love of God in her.
Amen.
So, I'm telling you, when you're out there, you better watch yourself. I've got no trouble with sinners. It's the people
that complain
to God something. I got a problem with them because they're going to down me. For what I do.
Yeah.
Living matters is not. And I love young people. And I'm telling you, that's where it's all at. And I deal with a lot of young people.
Bless his heart.
And where I work at, there's a lot of young people, and I deal with them. I deal with the boss's kids. We have a time.
Amen.
And I can really enjoy young people. It keeps me young.
Bless
keeps
you,
me
William.
And
amen.
I love all people, but especially young
amen.
People.
Bless you, Brother William.
And
he said, I'm going all the way. Amen. I like him.
And
he said,
I'm in
the race
all the way. Now, some of y'all might beat me there. You know, it's not like an Olympic race. But we're all going to be winners. Some of us are going to get there before the other.
Amen.
But we're all going to be the winner.
Amen.
I'm going to cross that line. And I ain't glorified yet. One of these days, God himself is going to glorify me. Then I'll have it made. Until I get glorified. I've got my problems.
Good statement there, brother. Amen. Paul said, I finished my course. He said, my race is over. He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord himself shall give me, not me only, but all those that love and look his appearing. One day we will cross. This old song says, last mile of the way. One day we will walk the last mile of the way. Who else got a word in your heart this morning?
Brother, I'd like to get a little more detail about last night.
Well, go ahead there, Brother Matt.
Paulette so much for loving her mother.
Yeah.
She, I think it had been 9 days or so many days she hadn't left there.
Yeah.
Longer than that, maybe 12, 13 days. Is that something?
She would not be tonight. Amen.
And you know, she got a wash rag, wet wash rag.
Yeah.
Face trying to get her woke up. I said, you might as well get some ice.
Yeah.
We need to get her awake till we get pray with you, you know, but...
That daughter would not be denied.
That daughter wouldn't give up. So yeah. I appreciate anybody to do that. They kept my strength to get somebody saved, but she'd do that, you know, work so hard with her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
when
they said, raise me up.
Yeah, raise me up.
And raise that bed up.
Yeah.
She would sit up, you know, where she could get that bed.
Yeah.
And I bet a parent hit me when she...
Bless you, brother. Amen. I was glad to be able to say I was there last night to see the miracle of what we talked about here this morning, the gift of God. It's there for those that ask God for it. He freely gives it. He wants all to have it. He wants everyone to have a home in heaven. He wants everyone to be forgiven their sins. He wants everyone to be blessed. I don't know why in the world there ain't a line of people to get this gift. A new store opened up over where we live at, and I went by there the first day, and I said, forget it. And a line went from across the parking lot. I said, forget it. I'd like to see a line like that. Boy, people said, I want the gift of God.
Yeah.
I want to know I'm saved. I want to be sure.
Yeah.
I want salvation.
Right.
You couldn't hurt a man with a bulldozer. Anybody else got a word on your heart this morning?
I pray the Lord this morning.
Amen, Molly.
Amen.
Amen.
But it is a free gift.
Yeah.
It's up to every one of us to accept it.
Amen.
If we don't accept it, we can't blame nobody else.
That's
and
true.
If you do accept it, you've got to live. Not somebody else living
right.
For you.
Amen.
I praise his holy name this morning. I love him.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
I want to thank y'all for having us. This morning we'll try our best to start being regular attendance.
Well, I like the sound of that.
Listen to me. move, but it'd just be down the road. It won't be very far, so we'd just come back. Maybe we thank y'all. This is awful. Loving church and God fearing church. We thank y'all so much for having us.
Hey, man, appreciate you being here. I'll just comment this morning on visitors. I said, boy, give me a blessing just to see people come in and visit. And I hope that, like you said, they make a decision, say we'd like to come back. And as you can tell, we got plenty of room. And God said, go out in hedges and highways and compel them to come in. My house may be filled. God wants to see a filled house. It may not ever get filled, but He wants to see it filled. And good to have, is that your daughter there? Good to have her here this morning. Very, we didn't have no young people here this morning. Good to have a young person here. We've usually got a few young people, but we didn't this morning. Sure is good to have y'all here. Are we done?
Everybody stay and eat dinner with us.
Yeah, we got some food back in the back, and we'd like to invite you to stay and eat. And if you can, we sure wished you would. And we'll stop this thing right here. And I'll get Brother Vernon, if he would please, to pray a prayer.